VOA 1, The Hits.
Hey.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo, Susan Shand, Jill Robbins, and John Russell. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly and I will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
The sound is strange, and not of this earth. Let's listen. But this sound is very much of this earth. This is what a spider web sounds like. Well, that is what a mathematical model of a spider web sounds like. Marcus Bueller is an engineering professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He said, from communicating to building, spider webs offer much information about their creators. He explained to Reuters that spiders use vibrations as a way to communicate with the environment and with other spiders. He said, "We have recorded these vibrations from spiders and used artificial intelligence to learn these vibrational patterns." Bueller then explained the scientists connected those patterns with certain actions, basically learning the spider's language. Bueller and his researchers created 3D models of spider webs when the spiders were doing different things, such as making and repairing their webs, as well as hunting and feeding. They then listened for patterns in the spider signals and recreated the sounds using computers and mathematical processes. "Spiders are a whole different animal," said Bueller. He explained they can hear and see things that we cannot with our human ears and eyes. So by using science and math to turn vibrations into music, we begin to experience and better understand the world of the spider. Bueller hopes his team's work could help humans to understand the language of a spider and one day communicate with them. "The music," said Bueller, "is what the spider would also experience. And so we can begin to feel a little bit like a spider in that way." There are more than 47,000 kinds of spiders. They all create these webs to provide housing and catch food. Scientists say silk, the material created to form a spider web, is 5 times stronger than steel. Bueller said that understanding the living structure of a spider web could lead to improvements of man-made materials and structures. I'm Anna Mateo.
The United States might be about to make a large change, away from cars that need gas to electric cars. However, biofuel companies and their supporters in Congress say no. They want to increase the sales of gasoline with biofuels added, not leave it behind. President Joe Biden has proposed a plan that includes billions of dollars to pay for 500,000 electric car power stations. Money is also being spent to electrify public cars and repair the nation's electricity system. The plan seeks to copy moves in California and some other states to force the sale of electric cars. General Motors recently announced it would make only electric cars by 2035. Yet any move from gasoline or biofuel cars to electric ones would happen slowly in the U.S. That is because there are currently 279 million non-electric cars. Producers of biofuels say their products will be needed for a long time. The government's plan for electric cars comes as the U.S. works to reduce carbon emissions that are blamed for climate change. The Environmental Protection Agency says cars on the road make up a large share of U.S. gas emissions from transportation. The U.S. also wants to compete in the worldwide electric car market. LMC Automotive is a research company that follows the car industry. It predicts that more than 1 million electric cars will be sold in the U.S. in 2023. The company says that will rise to over 4 million by 2030. But that is less than one-fourth of normal yearly new car sales. Electric cars are now less than 2% of new sales. A recent study from Harvard and Tufts universities found that ethanol gives off 46% less carbon than gasoline. Biofuel makers say it is important that the country has increased biofuel production. Jeff Cooper is head of the Renewable Fuels Association in St. Louis. He said using ethanol is an easy way to reduce carbon emissions and slow climate change. Right now, normal gasoline is mixed with 10% ethanol. He wants that percentage changed to 15%. He said that it will take many years for gas-powered cars to disappear from American roads. Why not take steps now to reduce the carbon intensity of those liquid fuels, Cooper said. I'm Susan Shand.
Jenny Lau and her family have owned a restaurant in Las Vegas for the past 15 years. Like many restaurants during the pandemic, it shut down for 2 months last year. When the Satay Thai Bistro and Bar reopened, it could not have people inside. Because of the hot desert heat, people could not eat outside either. And conventions which bring people to Las Vegas were canceled because of the health crisis. So they turned the restaurant into a food delivery business. If you don't adapt, you're going to be left behind, said Lau. Even with the changes, sales dropped by half from 2019. The pandemic has been especially hard on Asian-owned businesses like the Lau's. Many Asian Americans operate small businesses like restaurants and nail salons. These service industries were hit hard by pandemic restrictions on indoor gatherings. Language barriers and limited relationships with banks have made it harder for them to learn about government aid. And they have also faced a rise in hate crimes from those that blamed Asians for the virus. A J.P. Morgan Chase Institute study showed that by the end of March, sales for Asian American businesses dropped by more than 60%. In comparison, most small businesses faced a 50% drop during the pandemic. Michael Park's family has owned a dry cleaning business in Philadelphia for 34 years. He said business has gotten better since the summer. But sales are still only 25% of what they were before the pandemic. Park is using government loans to stay in business. "We're just trying to stay afloat," he said. Last year, the U.S. government created the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, to help small businesses hurt by the pandemic. Researchers at the University of California at Santa Cruz and the University of Nevada found that many minority-owned businesses were left out at the start of the program. The program was later changed to include more small and community-based lenders, which resulted in more support for minority-owned businesses. Jamie Lee works for a community development organization that supports small businesses in Seattle's Chinatown area. She said many business owners she works with just know enough English to serve customers, but some might feel their English is not strong enough to go through the complex process to seek government assistance. Taisy Mersaille runs Lamb's Seafood Market, a Vietnamese-American-owned food store in Seattle. He said small businesses like his have survived with the help of neighborhood groups and local aid organizations. "The community really does come together," he said. I'm Jill Robbins.
You might be looking for new ways to improve your understanding of something you are studying. Perhaps you are seeking better methods to remember important information. One way to help you reach these goals is to try teaching, not as a job, but as a way to improve your own learning. In today's Education Tips, we will explore how teaching could help your studies. Researchers and educators have been interested in the link between teaching and learning for quite some time. A 1982 study found that tutoring helped both the tutors and the people who studied with them. Tutoring means teaching one person or a very small group of students. Like the children they helped, the tutors gained a better understanding of and developed more positive attitudes toward the subject matter covered in the tutorial program, the researchers wrote. Attitude is a term that means the way you think or feel about something. Also in the 1980s, Jean-Paul Martin, a French teacher in Germany, developed a way of teaching that asked students to teach each other. Martin taught language classes, but he expanded his learning by teaching method, also called LDL, to include other subjects as well. More recent studies have looked at the link between teaching and memory. A 2013 study, which we briefly described in a previous Education Tips, found that teaching had a strong effect on understanding and learning. An important part of the study compared the learning results of people who actually taught a lesson to those who simply prepared but did not teach. Overall, these findings suggest that when students actually teach the content of a lesson, they develop a deeper and more persistent understanding of the material than from solely preparing to teach, the researchers wrote. Persistent is a term that means continuing beyond the usual or expected amount of time. Scientists have also explored the question of why teaching improves learning. A 2018 study suggests that teaching may help your learning because you have to remember the information you have learned as you continue to teach. Experts call this retrieval. The researchers wrote that retrieval practice possibly causes the learning benefits of teaching. Practice is a term that means to do something over and over again to become better at it. The basic idea is that if you want to improve your memory of what you have learned, you have to practice remembering that information. While retrieval may be one reason that teaching helps learning, there could be other reasons. The issue remains an open question. The good news is that there are many ways that you can improve your learning by teaching. One way might be to teach your family or friends about something that you are learning. For example, you could teach your parents about English grammar or vocabulary. You could also try teaching a younger person, perhaps a cousin, brother, or sister. Try to make your lessons simple and clear, and ask them what they do not understand. The process of teaching and asking for feedback will help you realize that you may not understand some things as well as you thought you did. That is an important, necessary step in the learning process. Another idea is to imagine yourself describing a lesson to someone, or to write the lesson down. In the Guardian newspaper, David Robson suggests that you could write an email describing what you have learned in great detail. A final idea for those who like technology, you could record video of yourself teaching information. You could then send the lesson to friends or put it on YouTube or some other social media service. Give teaching a try and let us know if it improves your learning. I'm John Russell.
And now we present The Making of a Nation. Today, Kelly Jean Kelly and I continue the story of the presidency of Barack Obama. Conflicts related to race happened throughout Obama's time in office. Early in his first term, police arrested a Harvard University professor in his own home because they believed he was breaking into the house. The professor was an African-American man. Obama commented publicly on the arrest, saying the police had acted stupidly. He added, "There's a long history in this country of African-Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement more than was fair." Obama's words made some police officers and other Americans angry. The public reaction showed that while the country had elected an African-American president, race was still a sensitive issue.
2 years later, racial tensions exploded over the shooting of a 17-year-old African-American named Trayvon Martin. He was walking in a Florida neighborhood when a leader of the local neighborhood watch group shot him, claiming self-defense. The shooter was tried and found not guilty of a crime. But many Americans believed the case showed that African Americans were unfairly treated. In answer, Obama called for the country to come together. He spoke about Martin's parents, noting that he was raising two children.
You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. And, I think they are right to expect that all of us, as Americans, are going to take this with the seriousness it deserves and that we're going to get to the bottom of exactly what happened.
Yet, the nation was facing racial conflict again soon. In 2014, a police officer killed another unarmed African-American teenager. Michael Brown was suspected of robbing a store in Ferguson, Missouri. The shooting led to weeks of protests in Ferguson, some of them violent. Later, a jury ruled that the officer had not committed a crime. But the federal government found that the city's police and court system had a history of race-related abuses. Feelings about Ferguson were still high when, in June 2015, a white man shot and killed 9 African Americans at a prayer meeting in Charleston, South Carolina. The shooter was clear that he targeted the victims because of their race. In the days that followed, Obama traveled to Charleston and met with the families of the victims. Historian Michael Nelson remembered him speaking at the funeral of the clergyman killed in the attack.
In addition to the words he spoke, I started singing.
Amazing grace.
The old hymn, which, by the way, is a hymn in black churches and white churches, Amazing Grace. That's something that presidents don't usually do, but it really did sort of connect with the moment. It's an affirmation of, you know, as bad as things are, they will get better, or they can get better if we recommit ourselves.
Yet, as historian Michael Nelson notes, it is one thing to meet people's emotional needs and another to make political changes. Obama did not succeed in persuading Congress to pass national gun control reforms. His most serious effort came after a mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut in 2012. 20 young children and 6 adults died in the attack. The shooter was a 21-year-old man with mental health problems, an interest in violence, and the legal right to use a gun. He had no apparent reason to target the school or the children. Obama spoke out emotionally after the shooting.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
But a majority of lawmakers and many Americans did not think the federal government should, or even could, limit the right to own guns.
Early in his presidency, Obama and his administration expanded health care for Americans. Working with administration officials, Congress developed and later approved a bill to help people who could not pay for health insurance. It set up a system so that the federal government would pay for some of the cost. It also required insurance companies to help people who were already sick. Under the measure, insurance plans for parents would pay health care costs for their children until they reached age 26. President Obama signed the bill into law, but his administration's efforts were not popular with everyone. Critics objected that the law sharply increased government involvement in American society. Historian Michael Nelson says some people disliked the measure so much that they called the law Obamacare in order to blame the president for it.
Obama later said, "I'm fine with that because that extended the protection of health insurance to many Americans who otherwise didn't have it or were in jeopardy of losing it." I think, you know, Obamacare has become now kind of part of the fabric of American national life. And the fact that his name is attached to it means that people will always associate that with him.
Obama was able to pass health care reforms because his party, the Democrats, won control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate in the 2008 elections. 2 years later, as a sign that his policies were not popular with many Americans, the Democrats lost control of the House. Obama noted the defeats. He said after the 2010 elections that the Democrats took a shellacking. 4 years later, the party also lost control of the Senate. As president, Obama took steps he believed were needed to make all Americans equal under the law. In 2012, he expressed support for same-sex marriage. 2 years later, Obama signed an executive order to protect the rights of LGBT employees in the workplace. LGBT is short for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual. Many Americans opposed the president's policies on social questions. On international issues, Obama and his government faced challenges in Libya, Syria, and with Russia. And he was both supported and criticized for supporting the Paris Climate Agreement, a deal designed to slow rising temperatures. Obama was also criticized for agreeing to a nuclear deal with Iran. For years, Iran claimed its nuclear program was only for peaceful purposes. Yet the United States and other countries were not so sure. Under the 2015 agreement, the Iranian government promised to limit its nuclear activities and permit visits by international inspectors. In exchange, world powers agreed to ease economic actions against Iran.
Without the support of lawmakers, in his last months in office, Obama used executive orders to carry out policies. The actions have the force of law at the time, but they can be easily overturned by future presidents. Some Americans took aim at Obama personally. They questioned whether he was even born in the United States. A businessman led a call for Obama to release documents proving where he had been born. That man was Donald Trump. As Obama's time in office was coming to an end, Trump announced he would run for president himself. And in November 2016, he took the White House.
That brings our history series to a close for now. Thank you for joining us for The Making of a Nation, American History, from VOA Learning English. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.